pray that we would apply what was just spoken about. But no one was telling me the practical way of how to apply that lesson. Maybe you've had a similar experience. I wanted a specific mission. Someone to say, go do this, and then I would get to just go do that. But the preachers would just leave it to the audience to figure out how to apply what we just told them. Well, turns out, unfortunately, there's a reason that preachers do that. We cannot just tell you how to apply the lesson. And that's for, probably among other reasons, at least these two reasons. The audience is too broad to say a specific application that works for everyone. If I were to just get up here and say, this is how you need to apply the lesson, well, that might work for one person. That's not what someone else needs to apply that from that same lesson. So it's hard to say that a specific thing for the entire group. But also, because if it's just what I say, now you go apply it, well, then it would become a religion of doing what the preacher said to do. But we must decide for ourselves and work out our own salvation, make our own plans for action that are going to be specifically best for our own growth in the Lord, walk with the Lord. You can't have someone just telling you what to do, because then your religion becomes a series of doing what that person told you what to do. And so that's why people don't often give specific examples. However, sometimes it's difficult for us to think of specific ways to apply that lesson that we just heard. We want to, but we're like, I can't think of how to go about that or set a specific plan. So what are some practical ways that we can grow in our prayer, in our study, in our evangelism, in our getting more out of worship services, or about being stronger or more united together? So the rest of the lesson, we'll just be giving a few examples of things I or other people I've talked to have done to set specific goals for their growth in each of these areas. Practical game plans, if you will, that you can pick from. Now, what I list is just a beginning. Hopefully it just gets you started in brainstorming what will work for me to grow in those areas. And you can pick your own thing. Maybe from my list, may not be from my list. My suggestions are not going to be do all of these things. That's probably not going to work. And so don't take this as an overwhelming kind of, oh, we've got to do all those things. No, here are some ideas. Maybe brainstorm on your own later. What can I do practically that will help me grow my walk with God in these areas? So let's think about that. What are ways, and maybe you can pick one specific goal from the suggestions I made for, again, from your own. Maybe you can write it down. I'm going to grow my walk with God in this way. And I'm going to grow by maybe this time to get to be able to do this. Bonus names, if you sign your name on the bottom. Even more bonus points if you give a copy to someone else who's close to you, maybe your spouse or someone else, so that they can help you with that and encourage you in that journey. But let's think about how can we be better in our walk with God. So here are some ideas of how we can grow in our prayers. Think about Daniel, who prayed 3 times every day. Maybe that's something you can say, well, that's what I want to do. Remember Daniel, that was what he said. So when hard times came up, what am I going to do when they tell me not to pray? Well, I'm just already in the habit of praying 3 times a day. So maybe that's something you can say, well, that's what I'll do. I'll set these 3 times aside, and every day I'll pray then. Or maybe this is what I was told by somebody when I was younger and I was struggling with spending time in prayer. They said, hey, get a stopwatch. I had a watch that I would always wear at the time. They said, set a stopwatch, and every day, like you can pray fast prayers throughout the day, but every day get 10 to 15 minutes of sit-down prayer every day. And so some days I'd sit down and get 3 minutes here of focused prayer, and then 3 minutes there and get focused prayer. Sometimes I get to the end of the day, like I haven't got my 15 minutes, so I just have to sit down and pray for 15 minutes. Well, at first that was a little hard to remember to do that and keep doing that every day. But it wasn't long before that became such a habit. I was like, 15 minutes is not enough. I need to increase this. Now it's 30 minutes. Now it's 45 minutes. Now it's an hour. Now it's 2 hours throughout my day of sit-down, focused prayer. You know what that will do? That will really help you grow in your walk with God. So maybe it's by tracking how much time you're spending and making sure you at least spend that much time praying. Or maybe, think about Jesus. He rose early to pray in Mark chapter 1. He got away before the sun rose, and he went to a specific place. Often, he went to specific places to pray. Maybe that's what you need to do before your day gets started. You got to go to work at this time. Well, I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier, and I'm going to go in this room or in this chair, or I'm going to step outside with my cup of coffee, and I'm going to pray to God like Jesus did, rising early to pray. Or vice versa, if you're more a night person, set aside a night time. And when I get home from work, I'm going to go and pray to God at this time. Consider maybe while doing mindless activities. Now, if you can't focus on these things as well, then set aside a different time. But maybe like while brushing your teeth or driving, if you got to commute to work, if you can focus on the road and also focus on your prayer, that might be a helpful time for you to talk to God. For a while, I had a 45-minute drive commuting to work, and I would spend the 45 minutes there praying, and that really helped me to develop that relationship with God. On the way back, I would listen to a sermon. That really helped me to learn more about God. Or maybe you can use prayer journals, where you write down what you're praying about, and then later go back and think through what has God answered in those prayers. Because sometimes we forget to say thank you, because we didn't realize God was answering those prayers. For a while, my wife and I would take this prayer journal together, and it was amazing. We had the same thing on our list for several days or weeks, and all of a sudden it just faded off. It may have been answered, it may not have been answered. We just realized we didn't need that. God said no, and actually it was better for us not to need that, and we stopped asking for it. But other times we find out, oh, God answered that prayer. We were praying for it 4 months ago, and we forgot to keep praying about it to hear God's answer in that prayer. So maybe prayer journals are helpful for you. Or other things. Again, this is just beginning to brainstorm for you what in your walk with God is going to help you grow in your prayers. Let's think about some ideas to help you grow in your Bible study or your reading of God's Word. Maybe that's by doing some reading plans. There are several out there. There's 7-day plans, 5-day plans. If you flip to the back of your Bible, there's probably going to be a read through the Bible in a year plan. You can do a Google search. There's Bible apps that you can have tons of different, even thematic Bible read-throughs. You can do a topical, you can do chronological. You can find a Bible plan that works at your pace and what you're wanting to go through, and that might help you keep on schedule. Or you can just say, well, I'm going to read so many chapters a day. 1 chapter, 3 chapters, 5 chapters, whatever your pace is. And you can commit to that, and it helps you make that habit out of it. Or maybe, just think about, I'm going to give God 1%. Well, that sounds like a small amount. Well, 1% of our day is 15 minutes. If you spend 1% of your day, 15 minutes, reading the Bible, our reading speeds differ, but roughly you can read through about 3 chapters on average of the Bible in 15 minutes. If you do that, then in a year, if you gave God 1%, you'd easily read through the Bible in a year. I'm not saying we need to read through it that fast. I'm not saying it needs to be every year. What I'm saying is, if you just give God 1% of your time to reading His Word, it'll be amazing how much of God's Word you will read. Or maybe you can pick one book, one big book a month, like a Jeremiah or a Proverbs. Proverbs is great because it has 31 chapters and 31 days in the month. So whatever day you're on, I'll just read that chapter of Proverbs. But then you can read one medium book per week. So every month I'm going to read through Jeremiah. Every week I'm going to read through Nehemiah. So I read through Nehemiah 4 times this month and Jeremiah once. And then you can pick one small book to read it once every day. So you read through Jude every day. So now I've read through Jude 7 days, I'll switch to Haggai, I'll read through Haggai 7 days, and so forth. It's amazing how these things pair up against each other. So maybe it's by getting a plan for you. Maybe reading on these schedules is actually too fast. Maybe you need to slow it down. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, the kings were told to write out the Word of God. Maybe what you can do to help you focus on God's Word is to slow down and write out the words of God. That will really help you to slow down and notice what's in His Word. Or maybe you can ask someone else to study or read with you. Maybe you're not good at reading. Or maybe you want to learn more and you want someone else to help you guide you through it, like the eunuch asked Philip to guide him through the scripture in Acts 8. In fact, you can even do that with me. I can give you my phone number, we can Zoom or call. And I'd love to study with you even more about these things as well. Of course, ask someone else that's local, someone that you care about, that you know and trust their understanding of scripture, or you both are on the same page, and you're like, let's just go and read this together. But having a partner can really help you sometimes in that. Maybe it's by listening to podcasts. There's some Bible, the Bible Project, or Excel Still More, Leading Others to Christ, Carefully Examining Scriptures, more recommendations. Again, it's words of men, so always take it with a grain of salt. But maybe it's helpful for you, again, on a drive or something, you can listen to a podcast while doing the dishes and learn more about God's Word in that way. You can listen to recordings of sermons or studies. I mentioned on that drive, that commute, I would listen to a sermon. It was a sermon by Andy Cantrell, if you know about him. I would listen to his series. I was just so encouraged by his lessons when I went on the commute to work for that summer working there. Maybe, when studying, you can print off a section of text. You just go on, search that Bible scripture, or probably Bible Gateway will pop up. You can copy and paste that into a document and just hit print. And then you can read through with different highlighters or underlining colors. And maybe you don't want to fill up your Bible with that, but you can put it in this Maybe just want to use your Bible for that. But okay, I'm going to read through my book of Hosea in my Bible is just color-coded, where I went through with one theme with a pink underliner and one theme with a blue underliner. And sometimes it was both, so I just do both, and I traced a couple themes. And maybe you can see key words or themes through a text. Or other ways. There are so many different ways that we can figure out that works specifically for you. But set something practical and something specific. Not just, I'm going to read the Bible more, but in what way am I going to read the Bible more? Well, this is how I'm going to read the Bible more. This is how I'm going to get more out of my study. Or this is the book that I'm going to pick to study. And maybe that will help you in your walk to God. Well, let's think about evangelism. I want to be better about evangelism. Well, what does that look like? Well, first, plan for success by knowing what you would teach. You get an opportunity to teach somebody. What are you going to teach? Well, maybe pick a book of the Bible and make it yours. For me, it's the Gospel of Mark. If I don't know what I'm going to study with somebody, I say, hey, would you like to study the Bible sometimes? And they say, yeah, what do you want to study? I have an answer. I want to go to the Gospel of Mark. And then we can sit down and read through that. And then I don't even have to prepare. We can sit down right there because I've studied the Gospel of Mark so many times. And maybe for you, you can pick Philippians or whatever else. And you start studying it now. You don't even know who you'll teach it to yet. But when you get an opportunity, you know exactly what you'll teach. Or maybe you know the person. Start planning for what you'll teach that person when you finally get the opportunity with your family member or your neighbor or whoever. Maybe go ahead and make up free Bible study business cards or things. This is not just for preachers. You can put your number on something or have a sticky notes or something. So when you get an opportunity, you're like, hey, here's our congregation's business card. Or, hey, here's my phone number. Do you want to study Bible sometime with me? I made up my cards when I was still in high school, way before I was preaching full-time. And I was like, I want to be ready for if I meet somebody. I've got a little card that says free Bible studies on it. In fact, I probably need to update them because it still says my Skype account. And after Zoom came around, nobody's on Skype. But having the opportunity to study with people, maybe that's one thing for you. Maybe plan specific people to talk to. Not just praying, God, help me have some opportunity to talk to somebody. But think through your life. Who in my life needs the gospel? Oh, my neighbor, so-and-so. You know, my family member, you know, this person. Or, hey, this person at work. Or, I see this person every time I'm at Panera. And maybe I should talk to them next time. And maybe you list write down a list of 10 names of people in your life you want to talk to. And now you've got that list of 10 names. And maybe you say, well, this year, I'm going to offer each of them a Bible study in some way. And at the end of the year, did I do that? Did I not do that? So come up with specific people you're going to teach the gospel to. That doesn't just have to be non-Christians. That can be Christians. I want to encourage this person that evangelism is just teaching the gospel to people. So you can talk to other Christians as well, but talk to specific people. Maybe it's by door knocking. You might say, well, that's just scary or whatever. It doesn't work in the Northeast. I've tried it in New England, and it does work. So I don't know what people are saying when they say that. It might not be for you. What I do is I don't go up with any kind of specific papers and say, here's all this stuff. I just go up and say, hey, my name is Cameron. I'm just going around the neighborhood looking for people who like to read the Bible. Is that something you get a chance to do much? And when they respond with different things of, oh, yeah, I've already got my church, or no, I don't read the Bible. Whatever it is, I just kind of say something along the lines of, well, great. Well, I'm just looking for people who might be interested in getting together sometime with me and reading the Gospel of Mark. Would that be interesting to you? And maybe they say yes, maybe they say no. Either way, I can just move on to the next one if they say no. If they say yes, then I have, okay, well, will Tuesday or Thursday work for you? And I've got kind of specifics that I can and talk through with them. And I've never gone door knocking without having one contact that I can follow up with afterwards. And praise God for that. Maybe that's something you can try as well. Maybe it's by getting in pairs with somebody else, finding an evangelism partner. Think about in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sent them out two by two. Probably for a good reason. And you think about Paul and Barnabas and how they partnered up in evangelism. And when they went different ways, they both found a second person to partner with them as they went about. And so maybe you're like, I want to do better evangelism. Well, I'm going to have this person be better evangelism with me. And together you can talk about, here, I'm going to talk to this person. Check with me about that. And then you come back and, hey, did you talk to your neighbor? Yeah, I talked to them. This is what happened. It's so encouraging. In Vermont for a long time, I don't know if they still do this, but we had every other week a Bible or evangelism workshop. We get together and we worked on evangelism as a community, as a family. And so when someone was working on something, we're praying for you. Is there anything I can do to help equip you? Or maybe I'll join you for that study. Or, hey, I need this. Can someone help me with this? Or whatever. And when one person's doing something, hey, I talked to this person this way. Somebody else was inspired. Oh, maybe I could try that with this other person that I know. So when we approach spreading the gospel not just as an individual thing, but as a community, wow, we can have so much more success. Plus, that's the biblical way we see it. Again, you can do it individually, but they went out to like service, so maybe find an evangelism partner. Maybe by doing meetup studies. I don't know if you know what that is, but meetup is an online app or website where people get together that like similar things. So running or biking or hiking or reading the Bible. And so you can put on there, hey, we got a Bible study. In Pittsburgh, we do a lot of that. We have a bunch of different young adults Bible study, a Psalms Bible study, a Mark Bible study. And people that want to study the Bible get on there and say, hey, where's a Bible study? And they, oh, here's one that's near me. And they go and join that. And so just having the opportunity, maybe you can join one if there's already some that this congregation is doing. I'll be a part of that one and encourage it in that way. Or maybe you can make a new one. Or maybe just go and study and read the Bible in public. As simple as that. Maybe you're preparing for a Bible class, or maybe you're preparing if you're going to preach for the sermon, or maybe you're just doing your daily Bible reading. You could do that at home. Might be less distracting. But if you do it in public, I think the most contacts I make is just by studying in public, and stuff I was going to be studying anyways. People come up to me and ask, hey, what are you studying? What are you reading there? And we start up this conversation about the Bible. And maybe see others studying in public, and you could do that as well. Hey, what are you reading there? I just think this is one of the most effective ways. Maybe you could even set up a sign and say, hey, sit down with me and read the Bible when you're doing your regular study. I can send you a copy of that if you want some printable versions of that. But or maybe consider social media or online presence. You know, the marketplace back in Paul's day was out in that, you know, shopping area. Today it's kind of online. And so maybe that's by finding a way for you to have a social media presence on Instagram or on Facebook, or having a website that's active, or a podcast or a blog. And if you'd like tips on that, I would love to chat with you about some things that we've done in Pittsburgh, some opportunities there. But maybe that's individually, or maybe that's congregationally, that you can think of, how can I use my online presence as a way to share the gospel? Or other things. Again, these aren't take all of these, do all of these, that would be crazy. These aren't, you take one of these, figure something out for you. Maybe it's one of these suggestions, maybe it's something else. But the point is, find a specific way. Not just, I'm going to be better at evangelism, but here's how I'm going to be better at evangelism this year. You try something? That did not work for me. All right, I'm going to try something else. And now you've tried something, and eventually you find something that works for you, and you continue sharing the gospel. All right, let's talk about some ideas to grow in your worship. How can I get more out of worship services? Well, prepare for class. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 says, guard your steps as you go to the house of God to worship. I just think that's helpful. That's not about just going to worship. But think about it. Maybe as we go to the house for worship, we need to guard our steps. Prepare. Think through what we're about to do. Maybe if you've got classes or things going on, go ahead and prepare for those. Read the text. Maybe plan some songs or prayers or whatever you're doing in the service around the lesson topic. Well, that's going to take some work. I got to call the preacher and say, hey, what are you preaching on Sunday? Okay, I'm going to plan my songs. Our congregation, there's one brother, if he has the opening prayer the next Sunday, he'll call me up and say, hey, what are you preaching on? I want to make sure my opening prayer goes along with your lesson. If I'm leading songs that day, he'll call me up, what songs are you leading so my opening prayer can go along with that lesson? He has gone back and listened to sermons I've given. If I said a sermon title and I've preached that somewhere else before, he's listened to the entire sermon so that his prayer is aligned with what I've... That's in preparation to help make sure he and the congregation get more out of it. Maybe that's something you can do as well. By the way, the song before this lesson fit really well with the lesson yesterday, so I assume you did that really well. Maybe you take notes during the class or the sermon, and then go and review them on a specific day. Maybe just taking notes helps you. And maybe you say, okay, I'm going to take notes, and on Tuesday, I'm going to go back and reread those notes, and maybe I'm going to think through them again. Or make a plan of action from the sermon about how to apply it. All right, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to have one way that I'm going to apply this sermon. I'm going to be able to write that down. I did that for a while with these small talks that I would go to daily. And I was like, I'm not getting anything from this. Like, I'm going to go away with one application every time. And that was helpful for me. Maybe it's by discussing the lessons that you learned on the way home or over dinner. You got that drive home with your family. Make it a habit. Hey, what do you think about today's sermon? Or you got that dinner as a family. Talk to your kids. Hey, what did you think about that thing that you learned in your Bible class? And make that a habit. Or maybe we talk a lot about Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And don't forsake the assembling. I don't think that's talking about what we often use it for. But what it does go on to say is that we need to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. If we're going to be gathering together, our goal ought to be to stir one another up to love and good deeds. So, make a plan. How am I going to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? Maybe there's that specific person. Okay, I'm going to talk to this person. I'm going to encourage them in this way. And maybe some other people come up and we get to talk to them too, but like, I'm going to make sure I'm encouraging this person today. Or maybe that's, I'm going to take this person out. I'm going to have them over after worship. Or maybe I'm going to write a letter to someone who's far away. I mean, Paul's praying and encouraging brethren around the world. Maybe that's something that you can do to stir someone up to love and good works. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, talks about taking pains and paying close attention. I just love that. Are you taking pains and paying close attention to this public reading of Scripture? Maybe that's in songs or in prayers or in readings. Pay enough attention during that song or during that prayer to afterwards be able to say amen. Well, amen, if you don't even know what you're saying, means indeed or let it be or yes, I agree. And so, if you didn't listen to the prayer and you said amen at the end of it, well, that's not sincere, that's just a lie. You don't know what was said in that prayer. So maybe pay enough attention that you can say amen. Or maybe make some applications from the songs or the prayers. Or maybe tell the preacher about what you learned. You know, I appreciate it when people come up and say, that was a good sermon. I, you know, thank you for that. I appreciate what you're saying, but honestly, that means very little to nothing to me. You know what? I've stood next to people that gave a very terrible sermon, and everyone came by afterwards and said, great sermon, appreciate that. And I walked out the door and I was like, well, they said to me, that to me last week. And, but if you come up instead and say, this is what I learned from your lesson today, that means the world to me. And you know what? I normally say that in this lesson, but last night that's what a lot of you did. It almost felt like this has been said here before. Because a lot of you said, thank you for your sermon, and paused and went, this is what I appreciated from that sermon. Man, that meant the world to me. And so maybe you've got to listen not just for, was that a good sermon, but why was that a good sermon? I'm going to go tell them that, so I better have something I can say about it. If it's not a good sermon, getting criticism. Tell me what I got wrong or what I should have said. Sometimes that's even more encouraging. But like, man, you missed this passage. Someone said something afterwards last night to me. I was like, I'm going to put that in my next version of that sermon. That's really good. I should have said that. And so maybe think about it that way. Or other things. Again, don't just show up to worship. This year I'm going to get more out of worship. Show up to worship. This is how I'm going to get more out of worship. I'm already out of time, but you can think about specific ways to grow stronger together as well in unity. And so maybe having people over every first Sunday or finding ways to get together more often. It sounds like you all do that some here, but you can do it more individually or collectively. Actively looking for those who maybe are the ones that are like sometimes here, sometimes not, or struggling in some way. Not just like, I hope they stick around, but like, I'm going to seek them out and make sure I help them or encourage them. Or maybe you are some of those people that you're really having a hard time. Well, then seek out someone who's strong, and you be the one that is encouraging someone else. And we can work in harmony. If you have issues with somebody, go reconcile with them. Don't just sit around with this bitterness with somebody on the other side of the congregation. Jesus says, leave your offering at the altar and go make it right with them. Find ways to serve people. How am I going to serve someone this week? Not just I'm going to serve people more, but find specific ways. You know, make meals, drive someone somewhere, babysit, etc. Ask people how you can pray for them, and then sit down and pray for them about that thing. And then tell them that you prayed for them about that thing. What an encouragement is when someone says, hey, I prayed for you about this thing you asked for prayers for. Or so forth. Again, I sped through those things, but hopefully these all give you ideas. You don't have to apply all those things. That would be a little bit much if you tried to. The idea is to begin your brainstorming. What works for you? Set a specific plan of action. How can I grow in my walk for the Lord? So hopefully I've given you some ideas of how to grow, but not just in a vague, I'm going to do better kind of way. Feel free to write down and maybe even sign or tell others about your specific plans for growth that might help you to keep to those things. Not that we're in charge of each other. It's that we're helping each other walk for the Lord. But if you do that, then remember what the people in Nehemiah did not remember. They didn't keep to those plans. So they made a vow and they didn't keep it. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 to 5 says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay paying it. For you have no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. So take your growth in the Lord seriously. But then, if you make commitments, then make sure you follow through on those commitments to following the Lord. So I hope that's been encouraging you and giving all of you some ideas. We're going to take a 10-minute break, rather, and then we'll get back and talk more about Malachi.
Okay.